Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are talking about the new Avatar film, Avatar: The Way of Water. Very highly anticipated movie. Of course, the first one came out many, many years ago. I think I was maybe in college when the first one came out. I mean, it's been a while. Maybe late high school. I don't remember. So,
yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to. Oh, it was 2009. I only know because I was looking last night. So I was in college.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, I probably was still in high school then. So it's been it's been a while for Avatar. So we'll get into Avatar: The Way of Water a little bit later on in the episode. Katie did not go see the movie. I did go see the movie. So
no I'll regrets. Give
you my thoughts on this 3 hour and 15 minute film. So, yeah, it was lengthy. By the time I, you know, watched the previews and got to the theater a few minutes early, because I always like to get there, you know, I never like to be rushed. So getting there like 10 minutes early, it was like I was almost there for 4 hours by the time all that happened. So
yeah,
it was great. So, okay, some news items for today. First, a new teaser trailer for Barbie dropped. This is coming out next summer with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, releasing the same day as Christopher Nolan's new movie, Oppenheimer, which I think is interesting because we're going to have two huge movies come out the same day. But I think Barbie will be very interesting. I'm interested to see what Greta Gerwig does with the movie. And we have a little bit of a taste, not a full trailer, but a little bit of a teaser for this movie.
Yes, I was pumped to see this teaser trailer came out. And Jared, I laughed because, well, I'm stunned. When you said that, I didn't realize it was coming out the same day as Oppenheimer, but it also reminded me they also dropped a teaser trailer and I watched it last night for Oppenheimer.
Yep.
And it looks so eerie. I'm really excited about that one, but when you think about how the invention of the atomic bomb, the impact it had, for better or for worse, but probably for worse. What a weird concept. But Barbie, I laughed at the trailer because if anybody is a friend of mine, like long-term friend, I read Moby Dick last year and it was quite a slog. I'm very proud that I read it. I will likely never read it again. Anyway, when I finished it, when I wanted to post about it on Instagram to show that I finished it, I used the same music that was in the Barbie teaser trailer. And it was, again, one of those things where I don't know if I was slap happy or what, but I laughed hysterically. I thought I was so funny doing this music because it's from, I know it was in 2001, A Space Odyssey. So anyway, that music is playing. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but the music is, it's also Sprock Zarathustra, which is, okay. I forget, I don't know how to actually pronounce that, but it's a classical piece that's beautiful. But I just thought that was hilarious. So when it came on the trailer, I started laughing because I started thinking of Moby Dick. It's just weird how those, like, I know it's one of those things that's not as funny to anybody else hearing it, but that just added to the overall experience of that teaser trailer. And I also found out today, Jared, could be a recommendation. I watched that Variety Actors on Actors special that they do on, that's always on YouTube with Margot Robbie and Carey Mulligan, because they're two of my favorite ladies. And so I got to hear a lot about Babylon, upcoming movie. And then I got to hear about She Said, which you and I reviewed. But they were talking about Barbie and how there's going to be a cross with Emerald Fennell, who directed Promising Young Woman, and Margot Robbie was an executive producer on that film. So I think Emerald is either going to has a cameo in Barbie, or Greta has a cameo in the new movie Saltburn that Emerald directed. I can't remember which order it was, but it was funny because there's going to be a crossover. And they were just talking about Barbie and it just sounds like it's going to be really good.
Nice. So yeah, excited for Barbie next summer. Some quick streaming news. If you're listening to this, by the time you listen to this, Top Gun Maverick is now out on Paramount Plus. So if you have Paramount Plus, you can watch arguably one of the biggest movies of 2022 if you haven't seen it yet. And I also found out The Menu, which we just reviewed, is going to be on HBO Max January 3rd. So right after the new year, you'll be able to watch that on HBO Max if you want to check that out. So, and only other big news item we have is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will not be returning anytime soon to the character of Black Adam for the DCU. Now, if you don't know, the DC movies were just recently taken over by James Gunn. He's kind of going to be like the Kevin Feige of DC in terms of establishing the story and figuring out where they want to go with these movies. And we learned the other day that the third Wonder Woman movie got scrapped. So it's not happening anymore. That was a big move. And now we learned that The Rock is not going to do any more Black Adam movies in the near future. But he posted on social media. I have to read you some of the things that he said, because it's very in a Rock tone. So post starts off like this. "My passionate friends, I wanted to give you a long-awaited Black Adam update regarding the character's future in the new DC universe. James Gunn and I connected, and Black Adam will not be in their first chapter of storytelling. However, DC has agreed to continue exploring the most valuable ways Black Adam can be utilized in future DC multiverse characters. You guys know me, and I have very thick skin, and you can always count on me to be direct with my words. These decisions made by James and DC leadership represent their vision of DCU through their creative lens." And he says a lot more. Then he says, "What a hell of a month. Now we all need some Terramana," which is his tequila company. "Have a productive week and happy holidays to you and your family. The Rock." So that's not all the message, but that's part of the message.
That is, that sounded, when you first started, that sounded just very dramatic.
Yeah, it was. And I think my big thing with this is that The Rock was acting like he was like Tom Cruise on this movie, on Black Adam. Like, he had all the creative control, right, and like where the story went and his character was all going to be his decision. And it like clearly was not. So I think The Rock got humbled a little bit by James Gunn calling him and saying, "Hey, we're not going to do any more of these anytime soon."
And I really like The Rock as a person, but that's just like the DC movies are just not as popular. I mean, we all know this, right?
Yeah, they're not as big box office hits as Marvel. Right. So, yeah. So, DC going through a lot of changes right now. We'll see. Hopefully it's for the better. So,
yeah.
Now some recommendations. You mentioned a Variety actors on actors thing. I watched the directors on directors. It was Joseph Kosinski, who directed Top Gun Maverick, and Rian Johnson, who did the new Knives Out movie that we're going to be reviewing next week. Cool. And they were just talking about directing both of those movies, how they're so different movies in terms that Top Gun is an action movie and Knives Out is more of a mystery whodunit type film. And they talk about a lot of different stuff. It was like 45 minutes, but they talked about the script and how to film it and where to put people in a scene. And they talked at the end about like streaming versus theaters, because obviously Rian Johnson's movie is going to be primarily Netflix is going to be how people see it, whereas Joseph Kosinski's was a big theater movie. So they talk about that for a couple minutes. Very interesting conversation between the two of those guys. And apparently that was the first time they had met in person too. They said that at the beginning of the YouTube video, but they had like a very natural like friendship, like instantly kind of hit it off. So if you're interested in like the technical parts of movie making and how the whole process kind of works, I would definitely suggest that, because it was really, really interesting to watch that with those two guys. So
super cool.
And that's my only recommend. So
thank you. I was going to say I have kind of, one is not very lame, but I didn't have a whole lot. I did read this week. I am definitely, I think it's safe to say I'm going to meet the goal of 100 books, but nice. Nothing to write home about right this minute, but I'm hoping, I will say, some people know this, but Jared, you know, I have a tendency to be like, I'm not going to buy any more books, or I'm not going to go to the library. I'm not going to. And then I go. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to Half Price Books yesterday. I sold a bunch of books there. It was actually probably one of my best sales I've ever done there.
Whopping $24.
No, I got $63.
Oh, wow. That's incredible for Half Price Books.
I had a crap ton of books. And then I had some like really nice coffee table books and stuff. It was kind of my end of the year clean out. So that was awesome. But then I bought two and I was just like, why am I doing this? I thought, Katie, why are you doing this? But I did it because I can't stop myself. It's a compulsion. And then I went to the library the other day. I think I shared this last episode, but I went to pick up one book I had on hold. It was the newest Jana Ivanovich book. I always read her new releases with the Stephanie Plum series. I love them. They're quick reads. They're easy. They're light. You love them. Anyway, that one came available super early. Like, I couldn't believe how quickly people had read through it. I thought I'd get it in February. So I went to go pick it up, left with three books. So I don't know what my problem is. I can't stop. And I rarely go to the library this year because I've been trying to read what I already have. So now I've now contributed to the problem. And I'm trying to like, I don't know why I feel like these all have to be read by December 31st when they don't. I only need a couple more books. But anyway, all of that to say, I've been reading a lot, but I did watch the newest season of Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. And I am a little embarrassed to admit that I watch the show. I don't know why this is the show that I'm more embarrassed about when I watch a lot of reality TV. But if anyone is a Too Hot to Handle fan, please let me know, first of all. And secondly, I think this season had the most people that actually changed by the end. That okay. actually like thought, maybe I shouldn't treat people like pieces of meat to be objectified and treated like scum, mm-hmm. you know?
Maybe so I can go more than cool. 12 hours without sex, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It like it made these people actually seemed like they genuinely cared about the lessons that they're trying to get across in the show. And they're still all hot and everything. And people broke the rules and they're idiots and stuff. But it was probably the most interesting season to watch, in my opinion. And okay. then lastly, I've recommended this to at least 5 people this week alone. Seth Meyers, who I really like, I watch a lot of his monologues. I watch almost every Closer Look that comes out. Anyway, he always does a day drinking series, and I don't know how frequently, I don't know if it's once a month or what, but I've watched one with Rihanna is one of the best ones I've seen. One with Kelly Clarkson was amazing, but he did one with Lizzo, and it's 17 minutes long on YouTube if anybody wants to watch it, but it was perfect. I was like having a snack one day, and that was like the perfect thing to watch. I laughed so hard I almost spit out my food multiple times. And part of it, you know how when you're listening to someone or watching someone talk that you just really like, it makes you happier?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I felt about this. Like, I really like Lizzo as a human, and I really like Seth. And watching them both get hammered and be idiots made me so happy. I can't express it. So if you're just looking for something that will make you smile and you happen to be a fan of one or both of those people, might I recommend the day drinking segment with Seth and Lizzo. It is so good. So that was the other recommendation I just wanted to point out for people. Yes. And then I've shared about reading. So we're all okay. good there.
Nice. I have not watched the whole Seth and Lizzo thing, but I did see clips of it on TikTok, and the couple of clips I saw were very funny. So
there's the one thing that I shared with people. I know a couple of my coworkers, I shared it with them and they watched it. And there's a part where Seth goes, "Merry Christmas, we're going to live forever." And he screams it. And I don't know why that something about that was so funny. Whoa. I don't know. And my that just reminds me of something else. I saw my parents this weekend. We had to celebrate Christmas early. And I was wrapping some gifts to help out around the house. And I was watching Murder, She Wrote, as one does, as any sane 33-year-old woman would do. And I just started, I didn't cry, but I was like, "Dad, I just don't know why Angela died. I'm so upset." And he was like, "What, did you think she was going to live forever?" He said that. And I was like, "Yeah, I actually kind of thought she was." And so that's just funny. That's come up multiple times this week where we're going to live forever. Anyway.
So there we go. That's our recommends. And we got through news. We have no corrections this week. So we'll get into Avatar, The Way of Water, released on December 16th, rated PG-13 for partial nudity, intense action, sequences of strong violence, and some strong language. This movie is 3 hours and 12 minutes. Yes, that is correct. 3 hours and 12 minutes. I have some comments on that.
I have some questions on that.
Sure, certainly. Yeah. We'll get into that for sure. IMDb, it's an 8.1 out of 10, so very high on the old IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, 78% critics, 93% audience. Audience is really liking this movie. And box office-wise, domestically, it's made $150 million. Worldwide, it's made $497 million already. At half a billion, it hasn't even been out a week yet. Well, obviously do well. The first one was one of the highest grossing movies of all time. So we'll see.
But
where
it's
this
not.
One gets.
But he didn't hit the goal he needed to hit, right? Like they for the
not
first
yet.
Weekend.
No, no. I think it's a little under what they think thought it was going to make, especially like here in the U.S. But I heard James Cameron say that they'll really know if it's successful by the second or third weekend, because if people are going to see it again, or if it gets good word of mouth and people go see it, that's kind of how Top Gun had the success that it did earlier this year, is that it was just in theaters for so long. And, you know, people were telling people, "Hey, this is really good. You should go check this out." And then, you know, more and more people saw it. So, they're hoping that same thing happens with Avatar, although Top Gun is a whole hour shorter than this. So I feel like that definitely helps its case. So,
well, James isn't going to get my $12.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So also, I did not see this movie in 3D. I want to preface that before we get into the review. I just thought, we don't see any other movie on this show in 3D usually. So I know that's a big spectacle with this one, but I really wanted to judge this movie on the story and just the visuals and how entertained I was by it in 2D without the 3D effect. So
yeah.
And I didn't know if I wanted to wear 3D glasses for 3.5 hours. So that was the other reason. So yeah, but I did not see this in 3D, so just a regular showing of it. The synopsis for this one: Jake Sully lives with his newfound family formed on the extrasolar moon Pandora. Once a familiar threat returns to finish what was previously started, Jake must work with Neytiri and the army of the Na'vi race to protect their home. So that's the synopsis for this one. Directed by James Cameron, of course, who is Canadian. He's done a lot of blockbusters, including Aliens, Terminator, Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic, and of course, Avatar. He's been nominated for Oscars in directing, Best Picture, and Best Editing. He won 3 Oscars for Titanic for Best Picture, Best Editing, and Best Director. And he has 4 upcoming projects, The Informationist, and there's supposed to be 3 more Avatars. Now, I have heard some news this week that if this one is not super financially successful, they will just do 3 of them and there will be a trilogy. But if this one does well, he's thinking at least 4, maybe 5 Avatars. So it's a lot of Avatars, gotta say. A lot of sequels. So, okay, we'll take a quick break here on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about the cast for this one and my likes and dislikes for Avatar: The Way of Water. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Avatar: The Way of Water, the movie about the blue people. And the big blue person that we pay attention to for most of the movie is Jake Sully, who is played by Sam Worthington.
Thank you, Jared. Sam Worthington, I didn't know this. He was born in England, but he was actually raised in Australia. I thought he was Australian, like from the beginning. He is best known for Clash of the Titans, Terminator Salvation, the first Avatar, The Shack, and Hacksaw Ridge. I know Hacksaw Ridge was, Jared was a huge fan of that one. I liked it too.
Pretty good, yeah.
But I know that was like one that you really liked. Yeah. He has 11 upcoming projects. I thought that was a joke. I looked, and 3 of them are the Avatar sequels. They're listed. But other ones are called Transfusion, Counterplay, Horizon, Hello Stranger, and the Georgetown Project. And that's not even all 11 projects. So you'll definitely see him in a few things coming up.
That is for sure.
Yes. Next up, we have Zoe Saldana. She plays Neytiri. I am a big Zoe Saldana fan, I have to say. She was born in New Jersey, but she is of Puerto Rican and Dominican descent. And she started she trained to be a professional ballerina, Jared. I don't know if you knew that.
Very
I knew
nice.
That because I loved ballet. And she also was in the movie Center Stage, which is like, that was a hardcore favorite for most of my adolescence. I have a copy of it still. Absolutely love that movie. Anyway, she's best known outside of Center Stage for Avatar, Star Trek, and the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. She is also currently in the Netflix miniseries From Scratch. I've been hearing a lot about that. And then she has 9 upcoming projects along with the Avatar sequels. Some of those are Lioness, Keyhole Garden, and The Bluff.
Very nice.
And then lastly, we have the very beloved Sigourney Weaver. She is playing Kiri. She is best known for a lot of the blockbusters Jared mentioned. Alien, Aliens, Gorillas in the Mist, Avatar, both the original and recent Ghostbusters, Galaxy Quest, Working Girl, WALL-E, and Finding Dory. She has been nominated for 3 acting Oscars for Working Girl, Gorillas in the Mist, and Aliens. And then next up, along with the Avatar sequels, she's also going to star in a TV series called The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. And this movie has an all-star cast as well. I do think I need to figure out another way to say that since that happens in every movie. Plus, these people, I didn't see the movie, but I do know, like I saw the first one. I think sometimes it's hard to tell people apart when they're completely like a different color and there's, you know, whatever graphics and things they're using.
Yeah, it's impossible. So, yeah.
So if you went to see this movie and you're like, whose voice was that? at least some of the all-star cast includes Stephen Lang, Kate Winslet, Cliff Curtis, Joel David Moore, Jemaine Clement, and Edie Falco. And I bet Jemaine, his name is probably pronounced Clement, but whatever. He was one half of the, why can't I even think of the name right now? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The duo. Oh my gosh. Where did it go? It just left my brain. Flight of the Conchords.
Yes. Yep.
Phew.
That's it.
Wow. I'm glad that came back.
Couldn't think of that either. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how I remember that, but good job, brain.
Nice job. So that's the cast for Avatar, The Way of Water. So now I'm going to share my likes and dislikes. We're going to have some spoilers here. So if you haven't seen Avatar and you really want to watch it, head out and then come back and listen to the rest of this episode.
I have a question first.
Yes.
How many times did you need to go to the bathroom? And follow-up question, did you use the app? That one app.
Needed to go one time during this 3-hour movie. So,
which
I feel like is fair given that it's 3.5 hours. And yes, I did use the app. Run Pee is the app.
Thank goodness. Run Pee.
Yep. You start the little timer. It tells you when the best part is to go to the bathroom. You get up, you read the little synopsis of what happened while you were gone. You come back, you're in great shape. So, So just once, not too bad. So I also brought some goldfish as a snack because I knew I was going to get hungry.
That's a good. Oh, and that's cute. The fish.
Yeah.
The water like theme.
The fish in the water. There we go. I did not plan that, but you know, there we go. So. Okay, so basically the plot of this one, Katie, just so you know, is that the villain from the first movie, they have turned him into an avatar. He's not a human anymore. He's now an avatar. And this took a whole year, basically, to like transform him into an avatar. So him and his group of cronies are now avatars. The reasons they did that is because they thought they would be better at fighting. They also thought they would maybe be able to go more undetected and do a little more spy type stuff and basically just not be, maybe the avatar, the real avatars wouldn't view them as much as of a threat. So what happens is the movie starts and you find out they're avatars. So now Jake Sully and his gang, the family, the Sully clan, are still living in the forest at the beginning of the movie. They have not gone to the water yet. They basically get attacked in the forest by the new avatars. And the they call them the sky people. So the regular humans, they are, I think they're attacking. I can't remember if they were going to attack or if they or if they attacked or if they were like planning to, and they found out and they basically moved on. I've slept since then. It was a long movie. So anyway, they're under danger. So what happens is they decide they need to escape, obviously. So Jake is no longer the leader of the forest avatars. He puts a new person in charge. And they escape to the water. So that's why it's called Avatar, the Way of Water. So they go meet a different group of avatars that are more water-based. Like they have like, you know, the dark blue ones have like the tails.
I actually don't.
Well, I forgot that they had tails too.
You know what I remember of the first
movie? Yeah. What?
Absolutely nothing except a talking tree was there, like Grandmother Willow and Pocahontas. That's literally all I remember. I didn't even remember the names of the people.
Yeah.
If you said describe an avatar to me, I'd go, I don't know, but they're blue.
Yeah. That's fine.
That is my recollection of the first one.
So anyway, they go to the water. They meet these water avatars, which are different. They have like bigger tails so that they can swim better. They're a little lighter blue color. It's like a different tribe, basically. Like you think of like Black Panther, the different tribes, this is kind of like just another group of avatars. So they hang out with them. They learn how to swim and how to ride these like sea creature things. And they learn how to bond with these whale-like creatures, which is kind of cool. But all the while the villains are still tracing them and tracking them. And eventually they catch up to them, even though they ran, you know, far away, they still find them. And then there's a big battle at the end of the movie. And that's kind of how the movie, that's the plot of the movie. So,
wow. And it took over 3 hours to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty simple plot. The first hour is them, you know, learn about a little bit more about the family. There's four kids now in the family, and Sigourney Weaver's avatar. That's Sigourney Weaver is playing like a teenage version of herself. So that avatar was adopted by Jake Sully's family and was a child of Sigourney Weaver and somebody else, but like Sigourney Weaver's avatar. That part was very confusing. But anyway, she's a member of their family now. And there's this dude named Spider, who the villain in the movie, that's his son. But when all the sky people left to go back to the real world, they couldn't transport this little kid because they had to put him in cryotherapy, and that would be unsafe for a child. So he grew up as a human with the avatars, understands their language and their culture and everything. But he's a human. So you got to know that. So, That's basically everything that's going on in this movie. So
got it.
And then the battle happens at the end. I'll get into more of that in my dislikes and my just some random thoughts at the end. So
got it.
Do you have any questions so far? Very science fiction based movie though.
So fantasy. Just like, ew. So I've made the right choice. All you're doing so far to me is confirming my worst fears about the film, and also that like I didn't need to see this because mm-hmm. It's not up my alley. So I guess here's what I've heard. So this isn't really a question, but I, through your likes and dislikes, we'll be able to confirm or deny. What I have heard a general consensus is that the graphics are great. They're great. Yes. Oh, wow. So good. Oh, wow. So good. But that not much else is great.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say my first, as we move into the likes, my first like is that it is visually stunning. It is very pretty to look at. It is amazing CGI. Very well done. There are sequences where you can't tell the CGI is so good. It almost looks like it's real. And when I say that, I mean, it looks like it's really like just a real thing. So especially with some of the sea creatures, like at one point one of the avatars talks to this like whale type creature. I forget the names they have for those, but the CGI on that just looks so real. Lots of other, the water looks great in this movie. I know they did some stuff like in actual tanks of water with like motion capture things, but that supplemented with like CGI and green screen stuff looks very good. So yeah, the visuals are absolutely stunning in this movie. I would confirm that 100%. It's a very pretty movie to look at. Excellent. That's for sure. So another like I had is that I thought this story was better than the first one. The first one's kind of just a rip off of Pocahontas.
I guess
this one is not so much. It really follows the family as a whole more. It's more about family overall as a theme, which I have some to say about that in my dislikes too. But where the first one was more romance based, this one is more family style based in terms of following the Sully family. So I liked that they kind of did a different story. And I also liked the world building as well. They did a little bit more, you know, they had different groups of avatars in this one. They go a few different places. You learn a little bit more about Pandora. I thought that was interesting because you go to some different avatar groups and see what they're doing and things like that. So I thought that the expansion was good, especially for the fact that if they're going to do three more of these movies, we needed to introduce some new characters, some more places to go, things like that. And they did do that in this movie. So I think they could expand even more, obviously, if they, you know, make the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many they make of these. So I did like that. And another like I had was that there was a little bit more backstory for the characters in this one, which I appreciated, especially like the half human, half avatar kid that I mentioned. His name is Spider. You learn a little bit more about, you learn about him. Obviously he's a new character. He wasn't in the first one. All the Sully clan children are new. They weren't in the first one. So you learn about them a little bit more. The Sigourney Weaver daughter character. So there's some good backstory here to make you care about the characters maybe a little bit more than you did in the first one. So,
well, that's cool. So you talking made me think of a couple, not really questions, just like you've helped me flesh out a little bit about what I like or don't like about this whole concept. One thing I will say about it being visually stunning, I seem to like have a bone to pick with James Cameron. I can't really tell you why, so I really should probably get over myself. But there's a ton about directing and especially things like technical elements that I can't even begin to understand. So I really do respect the efforts that I will never understand that go into making a film like this. So good for him. And then the other thing is I can at least, I think, more clearly state what I didn't love about the first was that I feel like it stole design elements, more like production design elements from Pocahontas, which made it feel unoriginal. But I also think that as a concept of like Pandora and these people and this world that they come from, it is a very original concept overall, which is what, you know, our last few movies we've said we're yearning for more original ideas. So kudos to him for those things. That being said, still this movie sounds like, I think for me, this is just not a kind of movie I naturally would gravitate towards.
And then I think for just my final like before I move on to my dislikes is that I did like how The only thing you needed to see before you saw this one is the first Avatar. We compare a lot of sequels to like Marvel or DC or things where you have to watch all this stuff and all these TV shows and to know what's going on.
Sure.
As long as you have an understanding of the first movie, or you watch maybe a synopsis of the first movie on YouTube or something to like understand what's kind of the backstory on the characters and the world, like you mentioned, and things like that, mm-hmm. you can go into this movie and be perfectly fine and be good to go. I would say you probably need to see the first movie just to understand like the Jake and Neytiri characters and how they met and, you know, got married and all that stuff. But I appreciated that more than like Marvel, where sometimes you go from one Marvel movie to the next.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
I hate that.
Did you watch this TV show and this 5-minute thing on YouTube? And did you read this article on Vanity Fair? Because you got to do all that before you can watch this movie. I like that you didn't have to do that for this one. So
good call out.
Okay, on to dislikes now for this particular film. So this movie is split into really three distinct acts, like a lot of movies are. The first act is them in the forest, and then the end of the first act is them escaping the forest and they meet the water people. The second act is everything's basically fine. There's no danger. It's just really about the water and about the sea creatures and about the people of the water, and they learn how to like swim and how to hold their breath for a really long time.
Okay.
Things of that nature. So, and then the third act is just a big final battle sequence. And I thought the third act could have been trimmed down a little bit.
I mean, even to hear a battle lasting about an hour that's wild.
Yeah, it was roughly around an hour. So what happens is they start and the villain guy, I can't remember his name, but anyway, he has some of Jake's Always kids. He's taking them captive and he's you've got to come and, you know, get your kids and sacrifice yourself for your kids, et cetera, et cetera. So they fight. There's a big battle on this ship. And throughout the water, with the Avatar and the sky people, and then the ship starts sinking. And so that becomes a whole thing too, kind of like Titanic, you know, where the ship sinks and that there's another ship sinking in this movie.
Yeah.
So that takes place over a few minutes and the people, you know, more and more people start dying. And then eventually we're down to just like Jake Sully's family and the bad guys. And then of course Jake Sully and the main bad guy have a big boss battle fight. So that happens. And then after that, they're like trapped underneath this ship and the water is continuing to rise and rise and they have to figure out how to get out.
Okay.
And so that's a whole sequence. And then like they finally escape and then they go back and do something else. And that's another 10 minutes. Oh, and then this is a big spoiler. So FYI, I've already talked spoilers, but one of the children of the Sully family dies during this battle. So they, you know, attend to him and have to properly bury him.
Does
in the world of Pandora. Yeah, so that was pretty surprising.
So sad. So,
yeah, that was a sad moment for sure. So, but I just thought the final hour could have been trimmed up for sure. And there was a point where I was like watching it, and it was, you know, a big CGI battle with guns and weapons and all this stuff, and I was just like, this is cool, but I feel like we should just like end the movie now. Like I'm ready to just get to the end. So. That was a dislike. This will probably come as a no surprise for you, Katie, coming from a James Cameron movie, but the female characters way underdeveloped in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird and so not like him.
This movie's all about the bros. It's all about the guys. Neytiri's character has very little to do. The Kate Winslet character has like very few lines. It's very dude. I mean, all the villains are dudes. It's very dude focused. So
not a lot of female characters. He has to notice this about himself, right?
Yeah.
Do you think?
The only one that I would say was a good female character was the Kiri character played by Sigourney Weaver. I thought he did a good job giving her some backstory. She's really connected with nature. That's kind of like her special ability. So she's able to like use animals and nature in a certain way. So that's kind of cool. So that was a kind of a cool storyline for her character. But in overall, the female characters are not featured very prominently in this movie. Another dislike, the script. So there's two characters that are brothers. They're in the Sully family, they're brothers, and they will all the time say to each other, come on, bro, let's go, bro. Come over here, bro. Let's go do this, bro. Bro, 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 bro. Like, that's the only word he used to describe them as brothers. He didn't use their names. He didn't use dude, man. And he, I mean, the amount of times I heard bro in this movie was outrageous. I was like, give him a different word to say to acknowledge that he is a sibling of this person.
That's why we have editors.
That just got on my nerves. Also, when one of the brothers, when the brother does end up, you know, getting close to death, the other brother is like, hold him up, bro. Make sure he hold his head, bro. You know, I'm like, you would not say those things if somebody in your family was about to die. Yeah, crazy there. Okay, some other bad character stuff. The kids in this movie are straight jerks. I wrote this down. If they would just listen to their parents, none of this would happen. So there's multiple times where they go off.
Cautionary tale.
Yeah, they go off by themselves. They go do things. They go outside of the reef, and that causes a lot of issues.
No, you guys know.
A lot of times they are just doing things that their parents, you know, they have this like radio walkie-talkie system in this one. So like the kids can radio back to Jake, and basically a lot of times they'll be like, hey, we're seeing some danger out here. You know, just FYI. And he's like, okay, you know, retreat or, you know, don't engage, except they do the complete opposite. So they cause a lot of danger in this movie. The parents are also awful in this movie too. Jake and Atiri are awful parents. They're horrible. They leave their kids unsupervised so many times. It's outrageous.
No, you guys.
They'll just be like, where did they go? Where are they?
You can't do that when the sky people are out.
Exactly. You got to stay close to the water, you know, base camp instead of like just going on adventures. So that was a big dislike as well. Again, the story could have been a lot of the problems could have been fixed if they would have just been better parents and better children. Some discipline and some, you know, good parental supervision would have gone a long way. Another dislike was the Sully family solves just about all their problems with violence. They attack people, they kill people, they get in people's faces and yell, they punch people. That's how a lot of problems are solved in this movie. So didn't love that. Some talking probably could have worked some things out
again,
as well.
This is kind of following that James Cameron vibe.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Just a few more dislikes. One, I already said it was kind of long. It's bloated. I feel like there's
kinda
a lot of
long.
Yeah.
Kinda?
It's long. So there's some storylines you could have cut out. There's obviously the main storyline of the Sully family trying to escape from the sky people. That's like your main story. Then one of the brothers starts a relationship with one of the water people, one of the girls for the water avatars.
Okay.
And then there's also this like poacher storyline as well, where this guy that the villains have kind of commandeered to use his ship to hunt down the avatar people.
Yep.
He is a poacher and he poaches these whale-like creatures. And at one point in the movie, you actually see the whole process of them killing one of these whale-like creatures, which was a dislike for me because I don't love animal cruelty anyway.
No.
And even if it's a CGI animal, I mean, it still looks like an animal. So, but they go through this long sequence of like putting buoys on this whale-like creature, shooting it with harpoons, you know, killing it all to basically extract this like serum that is in its brain that sells for millions of dollars. Like he has this little canister and he's like, this is worth $80 million. So, yeah, so that was a wild storyline. But at the end of the movie, the whale, one of the whales, basically fights back against those poachers and takes this harpoon and like ties it around their boat. And then it gets so tight that the main poacher guy gets his arm sliced off by the wire and goes flying into the ocean. So, karma for the whales, which is good. So
great. Okay.
Yeah. But those are all basically
my
dislikes.
That's funny. We've had whales come up twice in this episode because of Moby Dick.
Yeah. So this movie has whales as well. And then my only final thought before I give my grade, I guess, or you have more questions, is that they decided not to kill the villain in this movie. So the villain will be the same villain in the third movie as well, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, okay, that is interesting.
Didn't know if they were going to make the decision to axe him. There's definitely a point in the movie where you think he's going to die, and he does not. The spider character actually saves his dad, but then decides to go live back with the Avatar people, but does not tell the Avatar people that he saved his father and that the bad guy is still alive. So, so I thought that was just interesting decision to keep the villain alive for a third movie. So,
well, I really appreciate your thoughts. I find this actually very interesting, and it's helping me. So my question is, you know how we were talking about in Emancipation, we were like, I don't know that this was telling me anything new. This wasn't like a new idea. It wasn't really mm-hmm. questioning something. Do you think, not with the graphics and everything, but do you just think this movie had enough to say that it warranted being made and then possibly we need three more? You can say yes. I just don't know.
Yeah. Also, I did look up the villain person's name, and it's Rick Quaritch. So Miles Rick Quaritch is the villain character's name. Sorry, I couldn't remember that. But anyway, I think this movie was worthy of a sequel. I thought the sequel was pretty okay overall. I just don't think it needed to be 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I think if this was 2 hours, it could have been a really solid sequel. I thought it was I didn't think of it any less than like a Marvel sequel or something. I thought it was a perfectly fine sequel.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if we need 6 of these or 5 of these. If they end up being a trilogy and there's only 3 of them, I think that might work out pretty well. I just don't know what James Cameron is going to do with the story, how he's going to expand it. He's going to have to introduce more new characters, or like Jake and Neytiri are going to have to die, and then the kids are going to like take over as being the leaders. I could see that happening in the next one or the one after that. So I think as a sequel, it works pretty well. I think it's a fine sequel, but in terms of needing a bunch more movies, I don't know if that needs to happen or not. So
I have then one final thought of mine and then one last question.
Okay.
My just thought that you sparked in my brain was when I knew you were seeing this, I think I have the most issues with 5 of these being made like that. I'm mm-hmm. just like, what in the world? If Gone with the Wind could be told, that's a 1,000-page book. Like,
yeah,
that can be told in almost 3 hours or almost 4 hours. But like, that was including a long intermission and a 20-minute overture and all that stuff. But you take a concept and then like make 5 movies. All of that. I was trying to think what other series has had more than 3, but Fast and the Furious. But other than that, even Marvel, I was like, man, even Marvel isn't quite at that level. And to me, that's just crazy. So I just wanted to share that I think that might be my biggest problem. And to me, that goes from saying somebody thinks they're a good director to someone being like, I am a gift to mankind and I need to tell that, like, I need 5 movies. Like, that just seems very egotistical to me. But anyway, that's my thought.
Yeah. The only other things I can think of that have a ton of movies are Mission Impossible. There's a lot of those.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, the James Bond movies.
Well,
not technically sequels, because each one is different.
I'll fight to the end for that one. But okay.
And then I think they're on the 4th John Wick movie with Keanu. So.
Oh, I haven't seen those either, but I'm interested in those. So James Bond,
first
I will
two
say,
were good. I did not see the third one. So,
well, in defense of James Bond, I feel like all of those are their own individual thing, though. It's its own story. There's
exactly.
a villain.
Yeah.
It's like you're only carrying over the character, the main character. But thank you. My last question then, Oscar buzz. Do you think this will win anything? Do you think it should win anything? What are your thoughts?
I think it should win for best visual effects for sure.
Okay.
I think it should be a shoo-in for that category and should probably win that hands down because it's some of the best visuals I've seen this year.
I'm fine with that. If they get
see it getting nominated in some technical categories for sure.
Okay.
Best visuals, maybe best sound. I can't think of costume design or hair and makeup for this one, since it's all like, I feel like just a couple of the technical categories. So I don't think the script is good enough to get it nominated. I don't think, while James Cameron does a good job, I mean, you have like directors this year like Rian Johnson and Steven Spielberg
Chazelle.
And Damien Chazelle and Joseph Kaczynski, if he gets in for Top Gun Maverick. So some other like movies that are better that had bigger name directors.
Right.
Best Picture, I could see them, I guess, throwing it into Best Picture if they like pick 10 of them. I could see it maybe just because of what it is. It could sneak its way in for a Best Picture nom, but I don't think it has any chance to win Best Picture. So
got it.
And I don't think any of the acting performances will get nominated at all, just because it's so weird. Because it's like they're
funny.
Acting, but you can't see them. It's all CGI.
I don't want it to get.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. So.
Well, Jared, I can't thank you enough for taking
no problem
for the team here. Thank you.
I handled this one okay, and I think I'm going to score this a 73 out of 100.
73? Okay, okay.
Thought it was fine. I also thought the first Avatar was fine. I didn't guess we really didn't talk about that much, but I didn't love the first Avatar. I thought it was cool to look at, and the 3D was cool, but I thought the story was very, very basic, and the characters were very, very basic. So this one is... I think if you like the first one, go see this one. Mm-hmm. It's a fine sequel. I think you do need to see it in the movie theater. I don't think this is going to have the same impact if you watch it at home on your TV. I just don't think it's going to be as interesting. So just like the first one, I've never rewatched the first one. So
I was really hoping this was going to be a stinker, like in the 40s, but it's okay that it wasn't. But yeah, I'm really hoping for not three more.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So it's all about the box office. So yeah, you can follow the Silver Screen Podcast on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook and find us there. Our Letterboxd profiles are in the description, so you can find us on Letterboxd. And then we're going to take a quick break for the holidays. So we'll be off for a little while, but then we're coming back with two bangers, I would say.
Yes.
Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. That'll be our next episode. That's coming out on Netflix very soon. And then we're going to review Damien Chazelle's Babylon, another 3-hour movie.
Yes.
But at least it has Margot Robbie in it, and she's pretty to look at. So
she really
I think
is.
I can handle that.
And
just
these
fine.
Both movies, I'm really excited. Both of these movies are two of my most anticipated movies. I'm really excited. So appreciate the break. Everyone have wonderful and safe and happy holidays. But we are very excited. And it's like, once we come back from the holidays, it's like full-blown award season. It's like,
yeah,
it's time.
It's time. Yeah, yeah, it's happening. So our next episode will be Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.